Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Hello, Benchwarmers, guten Tag. thank you guys for tuning into the far end of the bench. As soon as we get started, my dogs start to bark and my voice is almost going out. I just came from a wrestling duel. Nico's dealing with some issues with his computer, so it's going to be slightly different. You're still going to get a podcast episode. You are still going to get picks, even though at this point, fade whatever pick we make, fade, because last week we had a combined total of one win in our pick 'em.
And unbeknownst to every single person that texted me or sent me a screenshot on my face with a clown outfit on last week, no, I don't look like that 24/7. Last week was Halloween. No, I will not bring back the clown mask, even though I did go 0-4 last week. So, yeah, maybe it was worthy of wearing the clown makeup.
It's unfortunate how sometimes that works out, that irony in the situation. We should have worked it out better. This will be the 159th time that we've come together here as a podcast for an episode. We're giving you guys picks. Be sure to follow at FEOTB Pod. And if you're watching on YouTube, if you find our YouTube channel, be sure to subscribe there and check us out on the Variety Sports Network. I'll be back this Sunday talking the gridiron with Darren and the boys Sunday night. Last week was a whole lot of fun. We had Jordan on, so I'm not the only Bengals fan. It's really awesome to do a Who Day chant and somebody actually backs me up. But that'll all be coming out, and that's where you can find a lot of great stuff. I don't know, they have the double double show since the NBA season is going on. If we were doing a full show, we'd be talking college basketball, we'd be talking NBA, we'd be talking NHL. So I don't want to hear that we focus too much on football. It's the middle of the NFL season at the moment, so the fact that we have to push talking about these other sports, we got time. We got until June.
Got time.
What are we talking about
all
here?
Day? I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I'm betting on every single other sport right now. But yeah, it is 100% football season. And like I said, NBA in-season term is going on. Who the fuck cares? MLB's over. Well, that came.
I thought it was supposed to be a mid-season tournament. I didn't realize it was the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I thought so too. I don't know what the hell's going on. But yeah, football is the main focus right now, luckily. For you specifically, because the Avs aren't doing too well, and the Nuggets obviously are still world champions. I'll let you put that up. It doesn't matter if it's a short episode. But, yeah, it is football time, and it is time to roll.
Yes, it's time to roll. So let's get into our picks. We're recording this segment on Thursday night, so we're not going to have the Thursday night football game, but we do still have
games to talk about. It's not the game, so don't worry. I do not want to pick the Bears or fucking Panthers game, so we're not missing much.
Okay? I don't even have that on my TV. I have football on my TV. I have Louisville versus Virginia because Louisville's a wagon. Yeah. We're talking college football, too. Louisville's a fucking – they would be a problem if we had the 12-team playoff this year. They are sneaky good. The ACC and the Pac-12, I wish they could have done this sooner because maybe they wouldn't be dying off like they are right now. But the product this season – amazing coming out of the ACC and the Pac-12. So those are all our little tangents. We have it up on the screen. NFL going back to Germany. Germany, yeah, das gut. Frankfurt this time instead of Munich. Sehr gut, sehr gut. I have one kid who every time he leaves my class, everybody, goodbye, bye, see ya, have a good weekend. Auf Wiedersehen. Alvita Zane Jackson.
See ya. If he speaks German, I probably would not say this to him, but if you want something to clap back at him, be like, du bist eine kleine Scheiße.
Yeah, I can figure out that German and English are actually a lot closer than people realize. It's basically just English with a or a ja at the end of it. That sounds a lot like you can eat shit in English too.
You are a little shit.
I knew it ended with shit. See, Scheiße, shit. I got it. Colts, Pats. This is. The Colts are favored, which at the beginning of the season, even as bad as we thought the Patriots were going to be, I don't think that we expected the Colts to be favored in this situation. The last Europe game totally threw out the time zones. It doesn't matter whether you get there, whether you don't. It basically comes down to, is your team better? Do you have the better coaching staff to be able to get yourself through this? I know it hasn't been good, And there's even rumors. I don't know if you've seen the rumors. They're starting to circulate that if Bill Belichick brings the Patriots home with a 2-9 record next week going into the bye from Europe, that his seat is going to be very hot. There's some people saying that they're likely he's not going to finish the end of the season. This is not what we expected from this Patriots team. Just to, I've expected bad because Mac Jones isn't a good quarterback and they don't have weapons around him. But I didn't expect this level of bad. So for that sake, bad. I'm going with the Colts. I'm picking the Colts. I don't know if I like the 2.5.
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, I can't get Minshew
and the Indianapolis Colts. Now we have conversations about TV ratings and things like this. We cannot sit here and act like the nationally televised football games outside of probably last night or last Sunday's Sunday Night Football game haven't been absolute dog shit. They've been horrendous. Monday night's game, Chargers Jets, horrendous. Thursday night's game, Bears and Panthers, horrendous. This is another standalone game that I'm just like, do I want to really wake up at 8 a.m. for this shit? I don't think so. I think I'm going to just sleep in and enjoy my morning instead of throw this shit on is all I'm going to say. But, yeah, it's funny, all these rumblings for Belichick's coming out right now. Very, very timely with a former head coach getting released and getting let go that would probably love – lives and dies the Patriot way. And he would be
– it's Gerard be Mayo's very, very job fitting. If it's not Bill – I'm pretty sure that Kraft has come out and said Gerard Mayo would have the job if Bill Belichick's not the head coach.
He said those comments when his good old best friend Josh McDaniels was still a head coach is all I'm going to say. Those comments came out when that happened. Do I agree? No. I think Gerard Mayo would be a much better coach. He would be. Absolutely, would be. But you know that organization just as much as I do. But we know that organization more than anyone. It's like they stick to their way that we're better than everybody else, and that's what got Josh McDaniels ass fired here in Denver and then fired in Vegas. It's because because the Patriot way was bigger than anybody else. Was bigger than anything else. Even when coaching the Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, whatever the fuck they are. Even when coaching the Raiders, the Patriot way was king. That's why Antonio Pierce, when he stood up and that report came out this week, that he stood up and talked about the 08 Giants and how they believed they could beat anybody. And when they beat the undefeated Patriots, they believed. Like yeah, don't talk about the Patriots like that. Exactly. So, look, I would not be surprised in the slightest. If McDaniels ended his way back up in New England. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I can't pick New England. New England's a fucking travesty. That's just a shit show. It's Gardner Minshew versus freaking Mac Jones here. This is terrible football. This is just horrendous. Like, what the hell am I watching? Both teams are in Caleb Williams' watch, trying to lose games, and we have both of them sticking it out in a game where that doesn't mean anything for anybody outside of the people in Germany. Germany, those poor Germans got to watch two of the best offenses in the league, and the Chiefs and Dolphins. And then these fuckers come into town. You're like, so this is what the rest of the league looks like.
Are we still being punished for World Wars 1 and 2 where we get your shitty football teams coming over here? I don't like that. We've apologized.
It's so bad. I'm taking the Colts because I'm just throwing darts and I really don't want to take the Patriots. That's the only reason why I'm doing this. It is funny, though, speaking of last week's games, the Chiefs now become the only team in the NFL or professional football history that has won in four different countries. They've won in Germany. They've won in England. They've won in the U.S., obviously, and I think Mexico is the other one.
Mexico City.
But, yeah, it's four different countries, which – it's cool. It's whatever. It's cool. Good. Congrats. I guess you get to write that in your little obituary. Congrats.
Well, that's also Travis Kelce's boyfriend Taylor Swift's boyfriend that you're talking about. I said that totally wrong.
I know. We're going to get canceled. We're talking bad about the Chiefs. I know. It's going to be a downfall of the show right there.
Bring it.
Bring
it. I want the smoke. I get too many notifications with these. You guys can't. It's just going to get lost in the wash. Please, Swifties, at FEOTB Pod, Taylor Swift, and this is going to – I'm going to get this from my girlfriend later. Taylor Swift isn't that good. Travis Kelce put Taylor Swift on the map is all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. It was not the other way around. Texans, Bengals. Nico, my Bengals are favored by 6.5. And, again, kind of dominated the Buffalo Bills. No, the Texans are frisky. I don't feel as good about this game as I did at the beginning of the season. Joe Burrow versus C.J. Stroud. We may be in for a hell of a game. If this one could be flexed, this one would probably be flex because you have Joe Burrow and this Bengals offense starting to find themselves a little bit. And C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, and this Texans program went from the absolute depths of hell with their last situation, coaching, ownership, everything like that. Now you have a guy that knows how to do this. I said it last week. I said it on Talking the Gridiron. This is not Jeff Saturday being pulled in to coach as a former player. D'Amico Ryans started as a quality control coach on San Francisco's staff, moved himself up under Coach Shanahan to defensive coordinator, and now he knows how to run his own NFL program. That's what he's doing in Houston right now. A couple more years where they get some more weapons around them. If they can shore up that defense a little bit more, Houston's very scary. Houston right now is I think they're number one in the division, and they're tied for number one with the Jaguars in the AFC South. So this is a big game. This is not a cakewalk. That number for the Bengals, it seems like it's a little high to try and entice people. It does show that Vegas has confidence that this is Cincinnati's game to lose. It's at home. Cincinnati so far at home has been very, very good. They haven't been embarrassed like they have been in Baltimore and in Cleveland. So there's a lot of things working for this one, but this is my pick. This one and the next game that we're going to pick are probably my two for games of the week with the Texans and Bengals starting it off.
Like I said, the Texans may be 1 or 2 years away from being the team in this division. Like, unless Jacksonville takes these massive steps where they take a hold on this division, I don't think the Titans will do it. I don't will Levis, and I don't believe in the Colts right now, especially with their revolving door of quarterbacks that always get injured. Right, Anthony Richardson, he looks like a great talent, but he can't stay on the field right now. C.J. Stroud's the best offensive player in this draft, easily. He will win. More than likely right now, if you could do a future bet, I would bet C.J. Stroud offensive rookie of the year. He has been that good thus far. He's been everything they wanted out of him and so much more. And we'll add Will Anderson on the other side. This Texas team is very, very frisky. On the flip side of this is a must-win game, Jimmy. I don't know if you still your team has won 5 games in a row, and you're still last place in your division. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, it's the best division in football. I know, yeah. Every team is at least 5-3. If the playoffs were to end this week, we'd have all 4 teams. The Bengals would be the 7th seed in the playoffs.
Easily the best division in football right now, top to bottom. And like I said, every game is a must-win. You get a little easier this week because I think it's Steelers and Browns, or it's Browns and Ravens play this week, and that will give one of those teams a loss. But like I said, when you start at 0-3, you put yourself in a hole, especially with 2 division losses to start the year, start 2 to 3 weeks out. And these are must-win games. Like I said, it's weird saying that a 5-game winning streak, but you have to do that because that's how good the other teams in the divisions are, right? The Ravens have been absolutely great thus far. The Steelers will not ever fucking put out a losing season. And the Browns, for whatever reason, have a quarterback who doesn't know who their quarterback is every single week. Their defense is still top 2 in the league. So you have to win football games every single week. And obviously, look, you don't plan to lose. Plain and simple. You play to win the game, Jimmy, as the great
– You play to win the game.
Exactly. You play to win the game. But like I said, they're must-win games when this division is that good. So Bengals cannot let the foot up, not to let the gas off the pedal at all. And like I said, the Texans are not as good as the teams, especially the last 2 teams they beat, in the 49ers and Bills. So they're not as good, but you cannot let up, especially in this division. So it's important to keep continuing those steps forward. I'm going Bengals because I think they are that good. And I think, like I said, it's a tough division. You have to keep winning. But I do think the Bengals are hitting their stride at the right time.
It's funny, too, because the Bengals are the game that gave me the one – I ended up getting the game back on you last week. You picked the Bills, I picked the Bengals, and that was the only one that ended up working out for either of us. So you're back on the Bengals train. I'm also taking the Bengals. I do think it's going to probably be closer than 6.5-point spread. Moving to the next game, 49ers coming off their bye. Everybody knows the whole world has been talking about their 3-game losing streak going into the bye and how Brock Purdy, without his weapons, without his – gargantuan all-world left tackle, he does look like the last pick in the draft. We've been on with a couple San Francisco fans. I've been seeing it all around. They're kind of panicking. It's kind of funny. And they're trying to figure out, where does the blame lie? Well, they all put the blame on Kyle Shanahan, which is hilarious to me. The fact that they are still complaining about the coaching that they're getting from Kyle fucking Shanahan. Really? We know who this guy is, right? You know he puts out this is the coach. This is the coach. He thought what he had. Do you think Trey Lance would be doing any better in this situation? Probably not.
No, absolutely not.
Sam, now people do think that Sam Darnold is going to end up taking over the job, which who knows how things are going to progress, but I want to see what the 49ers put out after this bye week. I want to see if they can stop one of the other two teams. So right now in the NFL, the two teams on the longest winning streak are five games, which is the Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are in this game that we're picking here. It's in Duval, 49ers favored by three on the road, because I would have to assume that defense, but that defense has been shaky. Is Trevor Lawrence going to be able to take advantage of it? I don't know. To me, this game, you have to err on the team that you have more faith in, you think is better. I penciled this one in as a loss for the Jaguars at the beginning of the season. So for that reason, I have no problem. I'm picking San Francisco. I think they're going to be able to get it done. They're going to right the ship. That team is too good to go on a four-game losing streak with a bye sprinkled in there. So I'm taking the 49ers over the Jags.
A 49ers team that, let's not forget, added Chase Young last week. 49ers team that left for the bye week with three straight losses. And added Chase Young on the defense to pair with his old Ohio State friend Nick Bosa. And look, Chase Young has not been what everyone thought he'd be coming out of the draft. Zero doubt about that. He's not lived up to the hype. But yeah, heck, it's only been 2 years, 3 years, whatever it's been. So it has not been a long enough time for those pass rushers to get to the key marquee level that the prime players, prime edge rushers in the league are. But you pair him with Nick Bosa, and that's an absolutely crazy duo. It's a crazy duo. And like I said, it's a long ways to go. San Francisco to Jacksonville is a five-hour flight. It is a long way to go, and you're facing a team that's one of the hardest teams in the league. There's zero doubt about that. We're really going to see what this 49ers team is made of. I think this week shows it more than anything. Absolutely think – I think this week shows it more than anything. Because, like I said, the Seahawks are holding this division now. They're right there with you. And this is no longer – you can't just coast to the playoffs because your division's ass. Cardinals are ass. Seahawks are good. And here come the Rams, too. Rams are winning some ball games, too, with Matt Stafford getting back healthy. So we'll see. I'm going to ride San Francisco as well. I believe in the 49ers. I just think that they're a better team in general. This is not my disbelief for the Jaguars. It's my belief in the 49ers getting better. I'm one of the few people very, very high in Jacksonville. How – I think they're a chance. I think they're a couple of players away from being a Super Bowl contender, where their projection should be that high. I think their defense could be better, but I think this offense has all the right makings with T-Law, ETN, Kirk, Zay Jones, and company. So, and Calvin Ridley too. So I think this offense has all it makes. I don't think the defense is there yet. Give me 49ers.
All right, for Sunday Night Football, let's make it quick because then we can spend a little bit more time talking about your team on the Monday night slot. It's bad game. We know it's bad football. The Jets are favored by one on the road. It's hard for me to believe that either team is going to – they're not going to score over 20 points. Whatever the over-under is, hammer the under. I don't know. Zach Wilson sucks. Zach Wilson is going to get beat up by Max Crosby.
Zach Wilson.
I'm taking Las Vegas.
Okay. I hate myself for doing this, but I can't pick the Raiders. I have to go to the Jets. I believe in the Jets defense. I believe in the Jets defense holding that terrible Raiders offense to under 10 points. So, Zach Wilson, give me a field goal range four times, and then we're good, all right? Give me 12 points. Give me a field goal range four times. Let's run it. So, give me the Jets. Look, the Raiders, Antonio Pierce, it's cute. Very, very cute. The Raider waves back, ladies and gentlemen. No, it's fucking not. Your team's still ass. So, give me the Jets.
All right. That brings us to Monday Night Football, last game of the weekend. Broncos coming off of their bye as well. One against the Chiefs before their bye. So, they're actually on a little bit of an upswing. Didn't sell the trade deadline like a lot of people thought. And now they're going up against their former face of the franchise player in Von Miller for their. I believe it's the first or second
first time.
It's
first time.
First time, first time. That we're going to be going up against Vaughn. Broncos have a tall order because this is a Bills team now that they don't have any more room for error. I was going to – if the Bills were to pull off Sunday Night Football last week, I'd put the chances for the Broncos much higher. This is a focused Bills team. They might not be as good. Losing Mondano, losing the guys that they have lost sucks for them. But Josh Allen is still Josh Allen, and the Bills are still – a very good football team. It could have easily gone a different way on Sunday Night Football. The Bengals still look dominant, but the Bills, if they didn't make one or two mistakes, that game is a lot closer than it is. So I think it's hard for me. I just don't have faith in the Broncos. I'm picking Buffalo to right the ship as well. They're going to get off their losing streak.
When you face arguably, I'll say arguably here, the greatest defensive player team's organizational history. Yeah, I said that. It's crazy saying that, but I think Vaughn is in the conversation with Atwater, with Zimmerman, with Champ Bailey. I think he's in the conversation. I mean, the guy is a Super Bowl MVP. There's a handful of guys that have won Super Bowl MVP on the defensive side of the ball in the history of the NFL. Let's not forget, okay? So, Vaughn, like I said, seeing Vaughn on the other side is going to be tough. It's going to suck. But like I said, this Broncos team, for whatever reason, no one's talking about them, and it's a good thing because when no one talks about this team, they look a little bit better, right? But you beat the Chiefs, you have the bye week, and people aren't talking about them. That's better. Sean Payton, because this team was talked about way too much the last 5-7 years. Being like, you know what, they're good. You know what, this, that, and the other thing. Sean Payton has said, everyone shut the fuck up, go about your business, and we'll see what we can do on the field, and that's what we'll worry about. And you can have your own social lives here and there, okay? And that's the difference right now, the last 2 weeks, right? You started off the first couple of games that are going to bite you in the ass if you want to contend for a playoff spot. The Commanders game is going to bite you in the ass, and the Jets game is going to bite you in the ass. But you look at this team, and you're like, you know what? These are two wins that we can build upon. Do I think they're going to build it upon the Bills? Absolutely the fuck not. I'm not an idiot. I'm still picking the Bills. But like I said, I'm still a man of my word, still picking the Broncos to lose every game. I know things are looking more up now, but the Bills after a loss are very, very scary, especially after a loss that they needed. This is a game the Bills need. They absolutely need. So the Bills are more – Bills are more ready and more built to win these late games where they are much more needed. The Broncos are not ready to win games that they need to get to a playoff spot. I do like the Broncos covering, if that means something. I do think that they'll cover. I think that they'll make it an interesting game out of every single fucking primetime game this weekend. I think it's going to be the best one. I get it. It's not up against much, but among the standalone games, I think it's the best one. So give me the Bills. I'm not an idiot. I'm a Broncos fan, but I'm not I'm not, I don't overstep my boundaries. I know exactly what this team is. So give me the Bills. Broncos, make it a game, please. Make me a little bit proud that there's something to build upon.
All right, I think that's going to wrap up this little short segment here. Hopefully you enjoyed our picks. Recap real quick. We both have the Colts, the Bengals. We both have the 49ers. Then for Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football, we split. I picked the Raiders over the Jets. You have the Jets. And actually, we're on the same as Monday Night Football as well. We both picked the Bills. So we have one game again where one of us is going to get a leg up on the competition. Hopefully we have a better weekend than 0-4 and 1-3. Because if we're going to call ourselves football guys, we can't have two back-to-back duds of weekends. That just can't happen.
I don't have the clown makeup on today, so I think it'll help us out.
Probably. I think it'll do well. If you're listening, it's going to transition over into the episode that we released right after the Avalanche won their third Stanley Cup in franchise history. We're going to flash you back to a couple years ago when we were celebrating that, coming off of the parade, and we have a few different things that are in that episode. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're just watching this clip, go back, watch our parade video that I have put out, watch the episode, and then we'll be back with our normally scheduled programming next week. We are going to have Top of the Mountain Sunday Scaries. I took the last few weeks off. I know I was traveling last weekend. But other than that, follow at FEOTV Pod, subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you are watching on YouTube, go check out some of our other videos. And if you're listening, enjoy that re-release of a classic Far End of the Bench episode. For myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host, Nico Bryant, thank you guys for tuning in for this short pick segment. We will see you guys next time.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
What's up, bench warmers? Welcome to episode 97 of the Far End of the Bench podcast. Jimmy Pilato and Nico Bryant, the home of the Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche. Woo! We got to celebrate a Stanley Cup run that ended with all of her glory hoisted high above our heads. And yeah, we're still riding high. So we talk all about games 5 and 6 from the Tampa Bay series. You guys will hear the highlight of both the Arturi Lehkonen game winner, as well as actually Arturi Lehkonen cup clincher. Excuse my misstep there. Cup clincher, and then also the final moments of the Stanley Cup final game.
from Connor McGahey on Altitude Sports Radio as the radio guy that's local out here. It's a great listen, so hopefully you guys enjoy that. And then we just kind of wrap up and give our final thoughts. It's been a hell of a season, and it's one that we should remember, and it's one to talk about for a long time because it's historic in many ways. And we talk about all of that. We'll be at the parade in person on Thursday. So follow at FEOTB pod. We'll let you guys know a general area where you can come say hi. And we'll cheer on the Avs, celebrate together. And then be sure also we'll have the in-person episode coming out Friday. First in-person episode since before the playoffs started. So that'll be a lot of fun. Be sure to check that out at FEOTB pod, all social medias. Follow and leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. Nick, what you got? What are we?
Hey, it's a little dark in here. Do I need to turn all the lights off?
Yeah, and then we should go home.
And they carry me home, right? Yeah. Like, right. Work sucks. I know. Yeah. I just fucking care about me.
Beautiful girls tell me goodbye. Trucks break down, dogs run off, politicians lie being fired by the politicians.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 2022 Stanley Cup champions, Colorado Avalanche.
Life is fucking good, Jumbo. It only took us 2 years to finally get our ring. It took your team losing in the final. It took a lot of trials and tribulations from all of our teams otherwise than that. And boy, oh boy, we finally got a ship here. Man, it's been 20 years since or 21 years since the Colorado Avalanche have won a cup. It's been 6 years since the city of Denver has seen a Major Four sports team championship. Life is fucking good, man. Woo, boy.
Oh, my goodness. It was one of those moments. Obviously, you were at the watch party for the Game 6 win when they clinched the cup. I was watching it at home with the crew that we'd been watching all of the playoffs with so far. I drug my family into hockey. You'd be proud. Even Ed was watching when we were hoping they were going to close out Game 5. Man, the Colorado Avalanche are back on the map. They are back. People remember, when you think of the Colorado Avalanche, you either remember the teams from the 90s where they hated the Red Wings and they're really good and into the early 2000s, or you remember the 2010s when they were like a laughingstock and EJ and Duchesne were running into each other in the back end. Like,
and Patrick Wall was pulling the goalie with 10 minutes left in the game and a regular season game.
Pushing the center glass over on top of Corey Perry, which, man, fuck Corey Perry, but man. Ooh, it was good to hand him his third cup loss in a row. That felt real good. I just don't want to sign him in the offseason, but we'll get to that. This is the Far End of the Bench, episode 97, celebrating a Stanley Cup championship. We'll have episode 98. That'll be the last of the two episodes a week. We might have two episodes again next week just to catch ourselves all the way back up. But the episode coming out Friday will be an in-person episode. First one is since the playoffs started, which now seems like forever and a half ago. I have a cleanly shaved face. You still are rocking
the mustache. I still have
mustache.
A mustache. It ain't going away. Everybody loves it. That's all I'll say is everyone loves it. I haven't heard one bad thing about it, so it's staying. This sucker is staying.
All right. And then to see that mustache, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow wherever you're listening to us right now, and be sure to leave a 5-star rating and a review. Tell a friend to check out the show. Be sure to follow us on social media as well at FEOTB Pod. That's where you can, if you want to meet up at the parade, if you're going to be there, we are both going to be at the Stanley Cup Championship Parade. We're going to be linking up. We're going to try and link up with the Tell It As It Is guys because Griffin came back into town for the parade. So we're going to see if we can link up with Christian and Griffin for that show. But it's going to be a ton of fun celebrating. I know I'm going to be enjoying a few. I'm sure you will probably be enjoying
a few of those Coors Light specialty championship ice beers or whatever they're having.
Gonna a little have Colorado Kool-Aid. I might just dump it over
pink
my
Whitney
head.
Pink Whitney shots too, you know, a few couple here and there.
I had so many Pink Whitney shots over this playoff run. Every single playoff goal, like Spittin' Chicklets said, got to do a shot of Pink Whitney. And we ended off a power play percentage of over 35%, which were like one of four teams in history. So it fucking worked. It paid off. My liver hurts. It was. Oh my God. Can we just, we'll talk about our feelings on the season now, but how gut wrenching is it to have a team in the Stanley Cup Finals, whether you think they're going to win or not, just like every single game, every single moment, you're up, you're down. I had to watch in the confines of my home, and my family joked, like, everybody was asking why we didn't go to the watch parties. And my family goes, you've seen how he watches the games. Like, we don't need to bring that into public. So they had my back in that regard, but that was just the most amount of stress, as much stress as I had when the Bengals were in the Super Bowl and when they ended up losing or going down late. Like, that was a lot. And you're right, I did have to give that up for this Stanley Cup championship win, and I'll do it every single time because the Avs are my number ones.
I'm just going to remind everybody, Jimmy did say before I asked him this question, you can go back, quote me on this. I said, Jimmy, would you be willing to give up this Bengals Super Bowl for an Avs one? He said, yes, I'll take a Bengals Super Bowl. Here we are, Avs won. Look, Bengals would have been nice, Jimmy, I know. But, you know, this one feels just as good, I know. Because I know the Bengals are your first love. Football. We grew up playing football our whole lives. But to be in this city with everybody wearing burgundy and blue, and this city being painted with the A on it, it is nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
No, I said that I would trade the Bengals Super Bowl. I would rather them lose and have the Avalanche win every single time, because the Avalanche are the only team from my home state. I love Colorado, and the Avalanche are what represents Colorado. Everything good.
I thought it might have went the other way. We might have to go back and fact check.
I can go back. I remember the conversation clearly, because it was, you put me on the spot and had the two loves of my life put up against each other. But yeah, no, I came back to the Colorado Avalanche are where it began. Like, that's the most fanatical I get in watching sports. When they tied, we'll get into game five, but when they tied it in game five, I just had the guttural reaction, jumping up off the couch, running at the TV with my fists extended in the air, like, yes. That was like the emotion that I feel for this team and the bond. Like, Dom and I, every single goal, when we're watching together, we high five and head rub. And if we're not watching in the same room, it's an emoji of the high five, like us and the hand sign for the high five. It's just like a family experience. And this, I saw your dad post about it. He posted you in your Scott Parker jersey with the night that they won it. And he's totally right.
I ran out of jerseys. Best way to do it, I ran out of jerseys, and I had to bring a little bit of attitude to bring it home. So I had to rock the Scotty P one.
They brought that attitude. Let's talk about games five and six, because we mentioned it last week. The Avalanche were going – they had the upper hand. They were going to clinch. There was no way, as good as the Tampa Bay Lightning are, and – kudos to them. All respect goes out to that Tampa Bay Lightning franchise. And most of the fan base is actually giving us our props. And they understand, like, as much as they think they can say the refs jobbed them and this and that, this was the first team and the only team that's been able to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in the playoffs for the last 2 years. But games five, we were going to have to play a perfect game to be able to close that out. And it would have been nice. You were in the building. Talk about the vibe in that building for the closeout game. Was there a noted difference? Because you went to earlier playoff game in the earlier rounds, right?
That was the only playoff game I went to.
Only playoff
game. I've been traveling for the past fucking 2 months, unfortunately. So because people forget, I was in Florida for the first half of this series. So I've been traveling all over across the country for work. So I haven't been able to go to a game. So that's my first Avs playoff game since – fucking, I want to say the series against San Jose in 2019. I think that was the last playoff game since then. But yeah, I had to give up my arm and leg for this game, for that ticket. I'll be honest with you, it hurt the paycheck. But even if we lost, it was 100% worth it. And look, there was like everyone. If you go back and listen to last Friday's episode, we both were preparing to win that game. Everyone was preparing to win that game. But then you all when we lost that game, for me, I can only speak from experience because I know you probably were losing your mind and everybody else was. For me, experience, I wasn't panicking. Because if there's one thing that this Avs team has done is that when they've gotten knocked down, they've gotten back up. It is the only team in playoff hockey history that has had four closeout games on the road where they were down in each game. Nashville, game four, down, came back and won. St. Louis, in St. Louis, down, game six, came back and won. Edmonton, down, game four, came back and won. Game six, Stanley Cup final, down, came back and won. This team, look, it is not pretty. Would it have been nice to see Lord Stanley come on the ice? Absolutely. I'm not lying. It sucked not for us not winning that night. It was funny walking around downtown, though, seeing the poles greased and prepared for the worst. But, man, look, sometimes it doesn't work like that. And when you're facing the back-to-back champions, they're not going to lie dead for you. That's exactly what you saw in game five. Were there some calls that could have gone ticky-tacky? Absolutely there was. I thought it was funny that the game ended with a too many men on the ice call because the way game four ended. I thought that was funny that they had to pull that one out because you had to think if the Avs had 6-on-5 for 3 minutes, probably would have got one and probably could have won game five. But to have that call to end game five like that, it was funny. But I had no sense of worry. If we would have lost game six, I would have worried. Because then Tuesday night, as we were recording this, would have been the absolutely hell of a fucking night. Instead, we're celebrating, waiting for Thursday. So that's my whole thoughts on it. Game five. Look, I said it all series long. We didn't get beat. We were our far better team this whole series. This team beat themselves when they lost. This team absolutely beat themselves when they lost. And that was a sense of game five. Look, the place was rocking. Everybody was losing their mind, but you had to win one game with three chances. You didn't get it done the first time. And I don't know the exact stat, but I do remember hearing this. The last three Stanley Cup winners, I think maybe four, didn't win it on their first try. They lost the first closeout game. They ended up winning the second one or third one or whatever it was, but it wasn't done on the first try, the first chance they had.
Going into game five, I wouldn't say that I was panicking, but there was definitely a level of pressure that was added to the situation because if you lose game six, this is a franchise in the Colorado Avalanche that have not been able to win a game seven in their last three tries. And the last time that they closed out a series at home in a game seven was 2008. This was a team that was a ghost. We'd already had to get over the second round ghost. We got through Edmonton. Like, we were in this situation where we had a 3-1 stranglehold on the series. And yes, at the end of this game, there was pressure added to the situation. But this team, the way this team has been able to respond all season and never having a letdown, and we'll talk about it, like 70 plus wins in an entire count, like, full NHL season for this team. This is a all-time great NHL squad that we just got privilege of watching.
One of the most dominant performances a franchise has ever had going through the Stanley Cup playoffs. Say what you want about Darcy Kuemper. He only lost four times. And that is, and most teams, it takes 30 games to win it all. It took this team 20 games. That's two sweeps and two game sixes were in reality, both those series could have ended in five. But it just the nerve of it, both those series of getting over the hump of the second round and getting over the hump of winning the cup was just a little too many nerves at the time. Obviously, the team overcame both of those. But we saw one of the most dominant performances, not only from a Stanley Cup winning team, but from a championship team in the four major sports. You think, look, obviously Super Bowls are one game each throughout the playoffs. But you talk about hockey, you talk about basketball, you talk about baseball, those three sports where they have seven-game series, you rarely ever see a team only go down under five times. If that happens, there was a clear winner and a clear team that was far better than the rest. That's exactly what you saw from this team.
Yeah, this one specifically, there was never a moment where the Avalanche were leading this game. They were playing from behind the entire time. Jan Ruda got It was going to take the Tampa Bay Lightning getting production from guys like Jan Rutta to be able to push this series, and that's what they got in Game 5. He gets the first goal assisted by Perry and Sergachev. Val comes back in the second period and scores to make it 1-1, and the Lightning finished that period off with a power play from Nikita Kucherov, who, by the way, we should talk about, not a great Stanley Cup Finals performance from Nikita Kucherov, a guy who's led the NHL in points for the last two seasons, absolutely disappeared. And I don't know if you saw the video of him at the bench at the end of Game 6, but if I was a Tampa Bay Lightning fan and Nikita Kucherov was on my team, I'd have some choice words for him at the moment.
Quitting on the team. Look, yes, the bench guy should have the stick, but if you're going to run over the bench, throw the stick, throw the gloves, and concede defeat with 30 seconds left, That's something. That's not nothing. Okay, that's something. That's a guy. That's not your leader. But Stamkos is your leader.
Stamkos is a fucking leader. Like, Stamkos played his nuts off this series.
He's the reason why he wears the seal on the chest. But Kucherov, this is your quote unquote second best player, if not your best player outside Vasilevsky, and he throws that tantrum at the end of the game. Like I said, there's a reason why I was so confident in this team after Game 4 was because you broke their will. That was a man whose will was broken, because if you look at the tilt of that ice, Tampa could not hold on to the puck. It was that whole third period, that 20 minutes felt like a fucking 3 hours long, but it's not as if Tampa had chances. They didn't have a shot in that third period until the 11-minute mark.
In game five, like they held the lead for most of it, and Andre Palat gets the game winner towards the end there, and you'd like to see Darcy Kuemper make that save. But the Avalanche had every right to win Game 5. Like, they could have very easily been able to close this thing out, and we could have been having this discussion and getting prepped for a parade today instead of on Thursday, which I wouldn't have enjoyed as much. But that was like the entire story of the series, where everybody said Tampa Bay was a better 5-on-5 team. We saw it in Game 5. They were assisted by a couple of shit.
That was a good joke.
they were boosted by a couple of shit penalty calls, in my opinion. Like, the Lightning got the fair shake from the referees after John Cooper came out and made his little bullshit whiny. We talked about it on last episode. We don't have to go back to it. But the referees made the calls in the Tampa Bay Lightning's favor, and they took advantage of it. And then Andre Palat, who's had big goals, like, they said he had 6 game-winning goals in the last 3 minutes of the game throughout this playoff run. It was incredible. We talked about Kadri playing himself into a massive contract. Andre Palat is going to get paid probably by Philadelphia, and he's going to go be the first line center on the Flyers, but
or go to Seattle or go somewhere else that will someone just throw a bag at him, because he's won 2 cups. He's done it. The last goal of his Tampa Bay Lightning career was the game winner in Game 5, and the last goal of Nazem Kadri's more than likely Avalanche career was the overtime winner in Game 4. Obviously, we'll talk about the offseason moves.
I don't want to see him go yet.
We don't want to see him go yet. He'll still have a trade. So, like I said, we'll talk about all offseason moves, because right now we want to focus on what this team has done and we'll worry about next year. I could go down a list of guys. I mean, look, Joe Sakic, look, you can give John Elway all this fucking shit. Doesn't matter about what he's done the last 5 years. Him and Joe Sakic are the fucking Mount Rushmore of the city. You not only won 2 as a player, you come back as a general manager, and Elway brings in Peyton Manning, and Joe Sakic conducts this full team and creates the masterpiece as one of the most dominant teams in NHL history. He did an absolute masterpiece of this team. Look at the depth of this team. It is the definition of built, not bought. I mean, you talk about a group of guys that were either searching for a cup or guys that were just basically thrown off the ledge of, we don't want you anymore. Guys like Valanciunas that just came in perfectly. This team, it's hard to put words.
Chuchu at one point was in the running for Conn Smythe. There was a stretch of this playoff series, like especially when Edmonton happened and Kadri did get hurt, Valanciunas stepped up, and that the offensive production didn't miss a beat. And Nazem Kadri is a 30 goal scorer from the regular season who was leading your team on the second line even into the postseason. And yeah, the depth of this team, and I have found the tweet that I was looking for. These are just the moves that Joe Sakic made to build this team. Traded for Manson, traded for Cogliano, traded for Lehkonen, traded for Sturm, traded for Kemper, traded for Taves, traded for Kadri, traded for Girard, and ended up getting Byram with that pick, and then traded for Burakovsky. All guys that I had success. Like, these were guys that were good pieces on their teams before they came into the Colorado Avalanche situation and were elevated just by the level of play. And we'll talk about Nathan MacKinnon, but Nathan MacKinnon being the way that he is going to elevate your play to another level. And they all bought into the fact that this was a team who was sick and tired. It goes back to the press conference Nate had at the end of last season after the Vegas loss. It's been 9 years in my career and I haven't won shit. Since that moment, this Colorado Avalanche team has had a death glare, and it was focused on that Stanley Cup. And they got to hoist it. They dented it within 5 minutes, because now we get to move on to game six and the 2-1 Stanley Cup championship that did not start good. That was an amazing play from Andre Palat. The fact that he slid down, kicked it, and it goes right to Stamkos' stick. Not a lot that you could do about that. I don't know why Darcy Kemper's legs were in the full split and then came together right as the puck was going through his legs. It's like he was in on it or something. First period, the Lightning get that goal. But then from then on, it was total domination from the Colorado Avalanche. They were in Tampa Bay zone the entire time, other than a couple of somewhat scary chances and Kucherov getting robbed on one of his one-timers by Darcy Kemper, who had to talk to Darcy Kemper. He outplayed Andrei Vasilevsky. Darcy Kemper is a better goaltender in the Stanley Cup final in 2022 than Andrei Vasilevsky is.
That's saying a lot. Look, it was the only look they had in the third period. And I'm not going to sit here and act like that Stamkos money didn't help me out, though, because I did take that FanDuel boost, a plus 480 boost for Stammer, Kucherov, Kaylor, McKinnon to score the first goal. So I did win some money on this.
Jesus Christ, they gave you all of the guys that scored the
first goal? They gave me four guys, a plus 480 odds. So if you know, I jumped so hard on that. So I won money.
You should have let me in on that.
So it still worked out. But I said it. You can say whatever you want about Darcy Kemper. This team doesn't win this cup without Darcy Kemper, and doesn't win the cup without Frankie either. And look, this team doesn't get home ice throughout the playoffs, which obviously is second best record in the league. And like I said, all regular season long, it didn't matter if you were first, as long as you were first or second, that's all that mattered. And this team ended up getting it all throughout the playoffs, and that was because of Darcy Kemper. And look, Darcy Kemper made some moves and did some things that were like, come on, man, like you need to be better in there. But in the end, at the end all be all, all those demons that he had to overcome, he overcame them all. Four losses, like I said, four losses in three series. That's it, three series, because he didn't play the Edmonton series. Four losses in three series against a team that had one of the Norris candidates and Roman Josi and the Nashville Predators, a team that won a cup second most recently in St. Louis, and then against the god that is Vasilevsky in goal, you beat those three teams and you only come out with four losses and 12 wins. That is enough to be said all be all. But there's going to be decisions to be made. But in my mind, look, Kemper stood on his head and did what needed to be done in the end. And look, you got to think. Kemper isn't on this team if you go back and sign Grubauer, right? Joe Sakic made that tough decision. He let Saad walk. He let Grubauer walk. He let those guys walk, and he brought back the guy with the C on his chest. And if you're telling me there isn't another person I wouldn't have wanted to lift that cup first, I don't care. There isn't another person that I would have wanted to go grab that cup first. We had so many conversations last offseason because we lost in the second round again, because we had all this. Do we bring back Lanny? Do we this? Do we do that? There is another person that has epitomized what this Avalanche team has done the last 15 years, other than Eric Johnson and Gabriel Landeskog. And it was nothing sweeter. And so what Kemper, all he needed to do was step in and make the plays when he did to. And that's exactly what he did, because the guys in front of him was going to make his life as easy as possible. And that started with number 92.
Yes. Now, Landeskog, if that deal doesn't get done last offseason, the Colorado Avalanche are not near this situation. And, you know, the people who have been around him and the people who know how he plays and have watched him since he became the youngest captain in the NHL, when he took the time off after his surgery to get himself right for the playoffs, there was a feeling of like, oh man, this guy, I mean, the casuals were thinking that it was going to hurt him. Honestly, in my mind, it was, oh, this guy is about to get himself ready for a fucking run. Yeah, and oh my God, did he have a hell of a fucking run. Scored some huge goals throughout this playoff run, none bigger than the couple that he scored in the Stanley Cup final. And we've talked about it for the last 2 years. I've talked about it for the last 3 years, is that the Colorado Avalanche have never had a front of net presence. And Gabriel Landeskog single-handedly, along with guys like Mikko Rantanen, who made a couple amazing passes in game six where he was getting thrown to the ground, literally thrown to the ice, and somehow he chops his stick and it goes right from his tape to another person's tape, and McKinnon's got a power a one-timer goal. Oh shit. And then he sets up that play where McKinnon and Manson go down the ice, and that's the game winner goal, which Colorado Avalanche fans are going to know this sequence forever. Rantanen to Manson, Manson to McKinnon, McKinnon trying to go back to Manson to Lehkonen into the back of the net, beats Andrei Vasilevskiy goals tied, something that nobody does. The best goal, the best glove in the game. There's, how else could this Colorado Avalanche team win? How else? It had to be the best team that they could play. It had to be on their home ice in front of their nasty fans.
On that terrible sheet of ice.
And it had to be a come from behind. And then they had to play the third period. And to be honest with you, I was stressed because, you know, one lucky bounce, and there was a lucky bounce that kept it out. We finally got a post that kept another shot out because we've been hitting so many goddamn posts. But other than that, like, there was not a ton of stress because the Colorado Avalanche have shown if they want to shut down the neutral zone after the St. Louis meltdown in game five, where they tried to go into shutdown mode and gave up a 3-goal lead, they were playing absolutely perfect defense when it mattered most. It was 6-on-5, and the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think, got maybe 2 chances on the rush and no scoring chances, no shots on goal. And you frustrated the best player in the world to the point where he took his gloves and threw them into the stands because he's like, fuck this, I'm done. I'm getting my ass embarrassed on national television and I'm fucking over it. Let me go back to the KHL and spend more of Putin's money, because that's what he's thinking about doing in the summer. The number one bullshit like that. There's nothing else that more that can be said. This was the most difficult path this team could have taken after one of the most disappointing seasons in franchise history last year. You know, that was on par with the 99 and the 2000 team going to the Western Conference Finals and losing in game 7 to Dallas when they weren't being able to get over that hump before they got Borky and those guys. And credit to the guys that he brought in, because Josh Manson, oh, the guy that's behind me when you're watching this on YouTube, Bo Byram, the 21-year-old stud, stepping the fuck up when Sam Girard goes down. And no, you don't, like, when he comes back and he's playing on a pairing with Sam Girard, do you know how many nightmares those two are going to give teams in the NHL? Goalies are going to see fucking one-timers in their sleep. Those two are going to be an unreal pairing. And then you got Taves and Makar on your top. Like, we will get to all of this because we can't go this entire podcast without playing the highlights. So we're going to let you guys hear Connor McGehee calling the Avalanche game winner. And then also the final seconds when he announces that they win the Stanley Cup. So that's what we're about to throw it to here. Not much, like, there's not a whole lot else we could say about game 6 other than it was fucking beautiful. It's one of those moments where you put in the time and the effort to stick with a team through the shit and the muck. And my first year when I was on the radio back in Gunnison on Gunnison Sports Talk Radio with Christian Saez, who's been a guest on this podcast, I sat down and said, the Avalanche suck. And they are going to, they're like in the gutter right now, and they are the worst team. And that was what my conversations were when I first got into my broadcasting career. And now here we are standing on top of the mountain in the NHL. And it couldn't have happened to a better team, like a better coach, from GM top down, like the organization.
Be careful with how far you go off the organization, Jimmy. That's
dude,
all
he's
saying.
Won like four.
I know he's a. I know
year.
I'm aware of that, but the fucker still gives me headaches. He didn't win that. Joe Sakic did. So
Joe Sakic, GM, GM down from the GM.
I know.
The Colorado Avalanche.
I just had to bring in that caveat.
Other than if you live in St. Louis, Minnesota. Or probably, you know, Detroit, the Colorado Avalanche are the most likable franchise that you could root for because it's not a major market, but they're always good. They produce high-flying action, and damn if they don't produce championships. They're tied with the Broncos now for most championships, pro championships in the city.
And look, they obviously have the best chance to be the team with the most.
Yes.
Like obviously, the Broncos, we have Russell Wilson. Things are looking up, but there's nothing like this team in this state right now. There's no other team that can put on this type of performance in this state other than the Colorado Avalanche.
A hottest ticket in town, and they earned it with flying colors. It was amazing. Let's go and listen to Connor McGehee call the game-winning goal and the final seconds of the Colorado Avalanche 2022 Stanley Cup Championship.
Now they get tangled up again behind the play. 3-on-2 for the Avalanche. Manson McKinnon back for Manson. Tapped over. Score! It's Arturi Lehkonen! It's a work of art! Lehkonen off the feed from Manson and McKinnon has tallied and gives the Avalanche a 2-1 lead. It's his 8th of the postseason. And there's lumber all over the ice. There's a broken stick in front of Vasilevsky.
It's Tampa Bay lumber.
It's Tampa Bay lumber because they slashed at Josh Manson as he was trying to skate away, and it was a full two-hander. McKinnon had it go off from McDonough. It bounced right for Arturi Lehkonen, and he beat Andrei Vasilevsky high glove side.
10 seconds now. Forecheck here from Kale McCarr. It's all the way at the other end of the ice. 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. It's over. They did it. They did it. The job is done. The Colorado Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions. And they will lift Lord Stanley a mile high.
And Tampa Bay is still barking at their referee. It's over, pal.
They're pouring off the bench. Colorado has defeated Tampa in 6 games.
That's one of the sports moments that's going to live on in Denver sports history for a long time. The Raymond Bourque, this one's for John. And now the Colorado Avalanche are ascended to, unlike their namesake, have ascended to the top of the mountain, and like their namesake, have annihilated everything in their path. It was, that dude is one of the best radio. Like, I would almost prefer to have just a video in front of me and listen to him on the radio behind me and not watch broadcast.
So there was times during the postseason where the ESPN broadcast was just buffering the whole time. So I threw on the radio to listen to McGehee. I had the game watching on in the background. So no, it's Connor McGehee does such a great job. He's been doing that for so damn long too. I mean, it brings chills. Right, look, listening to that call. I don't know if you saw this, but the picture of the young kid hoisting the mini cup above his head behind the goal while they were celebrating, Landy's kid drinking out of the cup. I mean, it's all the little things that you're like, fuck, man. This look, there's a reason why. Look, you can say all you want about the Lombardi and all you want about the World Cup. Few of those trophies have the fucking aura that the Stanley Cup poses. The Lombardi Trophy, as great as it is, not every person gets to touch it on the night of. Everybody gets it, but the FIFA World Cup trophy, obviously soccer isn't as big here, but it's still like it's not as prestigious as a cup. Every person that touched the ice for this team that is on the team still got to touch it. Whether you had a broken leg, a broken fibula, whatever it was, Sam Girard, Joseph Anunin, everyone that either suited up, that was in the building, that was a general manager, that didn't matter. You hoisted that sucker on the ice in front of everybody. Yeah. And then that cup just has so much history on it.
It's the Avalanche too, also like flew out everybody's families. A lot of the players had their parents and
they prepared for it.
They were talking about it on Spin Chicklets when I was listening today, and EJ had a grade A interview that I recommend to everybody. Obviously, I don't have to pump their content, but I've never heard EJ really speak, and he is hilarious. So I would recommend everybody check that out. But they were on the ice, and you don't see that a lot from a lot of teams. I don't think a lot of teams put that in their budget, that they're going to fly the opposing team or the families of their team to the opposing venue for a possible closeout game. You'd think like, okay, if you win it at home, that's when you get to celebrate it with your family. But no, Nazem Kadri's dad got to lift the cup. Eric Johnson's parents were there. Landy's parents, like, they had families all
every
there to see
had
this.
Someone there. Yeah. Everyone had someone there. Jesse Compton was there with JT, with the silver medals. I mean, you can go down the full list. Everybody had somebody there. And why? And look, it may be like weird that we're talking about this, but like when you talk about football, basketball, and baseball, it's a field. It's a court where everybody is on there. Ice is a little bit different. It's not like you throw people on that ice. And it's not only a kudos to the Avs organization to do that. Look, you have to give a credit where it's due to the Tampa Bay for allowing us to stay on the ice. Because I remember a time where I forgot which NBA championship it was, but the Warriors won it in Cleveland, and they didn't get to celebrate on the court. They kicked them off of it. It's respect. Like, look, mm-hmm. you have look in the back of your picture. It says congratulations, Colorado Avalanche. Look, Tampa Bay lost that series with flying colors, and they showed the respect. That's because that's the way hockey is. And every look, you want to talk about people that gave up so much time, so much effort. It was only right that they were on the ice with them, taking a picture with it on the ice with the hats and all that. And it was perfect, absolutely perfect.
Yeah, and Ray, this is a good chance to shout out We the Thunder. Go check out their show. They wrapped up. They had their final post game report. They're gonna have a postseason report coming up. We really enjoyed having them on our show and going on theirs. Obviously, I think both of our teams are going to be back in similar situations. So knock on wood, if we ever have this matchup happen again, we're definitely going to be going back and forth on those guys' show. That was a ton of fun. So big shout out to them and all of the Tampa Bay fans. And we do have a couple that stuck around because a few of them are still chirping back and forth with us on Twitter now, even about our other sports, not just hockey. But yeah, so shout out to the We the Thunder and the Thunder fans that we've had the privilege of interacting with over the series. Most of you guys were pretty classy. Of the fan bases that we had to go against, I'd say you and Nashville were the least hateable.
Nashville didn't have anything to say.
Other like poor guys were happy to be there. Will Compton tried, and then they gave up four in the first period, and it was just like it was over. That was it. That's all they had.
Yeah, it was cute. It was funny. Like St. Louis was a lot. Edmonton that kind of went so fast we didn't really care that much. So and then this like I said of the four series, Tampa Bay obviously look. It's a great fan base. There's nothing but credit to those guys over there. There's a reason why they're the back to back champions. In of the hockey world, it takes a lot for those guys. It's going to be a lot of moves. Like I said, after it's hard to win one. It's very hard to win a back-to-back. And it's even harder to win three in a row. And that's what you saw Tampa Bay come to in this series. It's hard as hell. There is rarefied air in any sport to win three in a row. Rarefied air. And it is more than kudos enough to win two in a row. Look, this team is not going away. I still think they're easily going to be the favorite coming out of the East next year. Unless Florida does something crazy, unless New York makes some weird moves, unless some things happen, I'm still taking Tampa. Look, there's no one that pumped their brakes more than us and hyping these guys up, especially when our team lost the last 2 years. And it was funny how it ended up that we had to play them to win it all. But that's just like I said when we were on their show, I have nothing but love for that team and for the way they conduct themselves. It's just business.
You can go back to a few of our shows where we planted a Tampa Bay flag firmly in our soil just because the Avalanche had given us nothing to root for. And that was the way that that things went. But they definitely, I mean, just looking at it, I couldn't find it. I was trying to pull up their injury report again. It was a long list. Off the top of my head, Cirelli had a AC sprain in one of his shoulders and then dislocated the other early on in the series. So he was playing with no shoulders. Belmar had a meniscus. Kucherov ended up having a meniscus. Braden Point came back and tried to play with a torn quad. He tried to play hockey with a torn quad when he came back and played against us. Makes sense why he looked as bad as he did. But then you look across at the Avalanche, and they had two guys with major surgeries. Nazem Kadri broke his thumb in two places and was back on the ice within 2 weeks of the surgery date. And Nazem Kadri gets the overtime winner. We can talk about him because of the full circle. And it was a great moment that he had afterwards, being able to tell all of his haters that they can kiss his ass. And there's, you're going to have to start signing up reservations now, because that's a little bit of a long line. There's a lot of people.
It was funny because it was on the Canadian broadcast of on Sportsnet, and you know, most of those watchers are Maple Leafs fans, and a lot of those media guys are the same guys that, good riddance to Kadri, get him out of here, he's a playoff liability. And the guy has gotten more shit on in the past 3 years than most hockey players have been able to gum through, and saying the best kiss my ass is fucking hilarious. Like I said, I'm not going to quote this because I'm just seeing it on Twitter. First Muslim to ever hoist the Stanley Cup. Yeah. First guy. I mean, he's the first
player of Lebanese descent.
You can go down a list of first whatever. And Kadri, like I said, it's going to suck to see him get paid, because every time he stepped on the ice, there's another $1 million added to that fucking paycheck he's going to get next year.
Just adding more as he scores goals, as he steps on the ice.
Outie. Just keeping.
I'm gonna have Dubai money. I'm gonna get Dubai money. Watch it be fucking Montreal.
LIV, yeah. No, he won't.
Montreal.
I doubt he'll go back to fucking Canada. If anywhere, he'll probably go somewhere where he can fucking live on a beach, live on a fucking farm, probably go somewhere out in California and just be the fucking guy over there. So if that's where I would guess, because he's a guy that would just want to fucking lay on the beach, get paid, play hockey, and live life. That's exactly what he will be. But yeah, look, Kadri, there's a bigger warrior on this team. All the state of now stuff, all the shit he went through in the St. Louis series. Yep. You can't say enough good things about this guy. And whether he comes back or not, his legacy will forever be with this team. That, like I said, look, you can talk about Raymond Borg and how he won the cup here. Raymond Borg was never a Colorado Avalanche. You talk about Raymond Borg in his career, he's a Boston Bruin. Mm-hmm. But he won that cup with them, so he's forever. He is at every fucking parade. He's at every fucking jersey ceremony. He's at every bring back the old guys game you can call. Raymond Borg's always there. Kadri, when he retires, he'll be forever part of this community because of what he did. And it goes without saying.
I mean, his daughter was born here, or at least grew up for the first portion of her life here. So he does have ties. And I read his Players Tribune story that he wrote. And that's where, like, he was up for a sportsmanship award. And when we're talking about Nazem Kadri a year ago, we're talking about a guy who laid probably one of the most offensive, obscene cheap shots that I've ever witnessed from one of my own teams. Like, the only other one that I could have thought was if I would have actually watched Claude Lemieux run Draper's face into the dasher. That would be one of the worst ones that I've actually watched. But no, that was awful. And Falk, you know, they settled it earlier on in this season. But this season was just totally different for Naz. And he's got the skill, even with the broken thumb. And I don't think that there was a lot on that shot that he beat Vasilevsky with in overtime. But it was the move to go from backhand into the forehand between the two defensemen that you're still like, yeah, this guy's only 32. I know that I'm going to pay him probably 6x6. And those last 3 years of this contract are going to be iffy as to what he's making. But if he goes to a team that's got some semblance of order, he can push you to middle of the playoffs, possibly Western Conference, Eastern Conference finals run, because teams get lucky in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a guy. If you're Minnesota, you fucking circle and you fucking go after. That's a
please
guy.
Don't. Please don't put that evil on me.
Minnesota's never won shit, so it really doesn't fucking matter. As much shit as we gave them, as they gave us for winning
not
that game seven at home.
I can't do it. I have to deal with O'Reilly and Saad. I don't want to have to deal with Kadri.
That's a guy, if you put him in on Anaheim with Zegras and Troy Terry down there with John Gibson between the night pipes, that's a team that could
get
the playoffs. The Kings that were just on the cusp. The Stars, I mean, you could go down the list. Obviously, we don't like the Stars over here. But you could go down the list of teams that this guy gets added to them, and you could be looking at a second round of playoffs. And then you just have to get studs around him, right? That's literally all this team was about.
The captain gave us the recipe. Go find a Kale McCarr. We'll wait.
We'll still miss this.
We're still waiting.
This kid, Hobie Baker, fucking Norris Trophy, fucking
Calder Cup.
I mean, you could fucking
Stanley Cup.
Like, look, the
only
this
player
kid is
in history. Only player in history.
Only player as a defenseman, because the caveat to that is that.
Well, that would be those four.
Was the MVP trophy. I forgot who it was. Someone won the MVP, Hobie Baker. I think I can't name it.
Draper. It was Draper, but yeah, he was a forward.
Yeah, Draper, but he's four, so he obviously won the MVP trophy, which McCarr definitely can do. So it's not like that's out of the question.
Yeah, I mean, he just won the playoff MVP trophy. Yeah, that puts you into – because it didn't make sense for him to get votes for the Hart or the Ted Lindsay this year, because it's the first year where everybody's starting to realize, holy shit, what are we watching? This is not human. So that makes sense. But now you finish – you win the Norris, which there's not been – you know, many guys who have been able to win multiple Norrises, which I think is what he's on par to do. And now he's into that stratosphere of next season, he could be the most valuable player in the NHL, because honestly, other than Connor McDavid and maybe Nathan McKinnon, but even with Nathan McKinnon,
the conversation too.
Yeah. There's like three guys in the world that you could put in the conversation that could be better than Cale Makar. And that leaves 99.99998% of the planet that he is better than, and it's not even close.
It's funny because, like, you look at, like, look, I was seeing so many funny stats. Cale Makar was the 14th person to grab the Stanley Cup. It's the 14th person on this team. He is the most nonchalant, just get my business on, holy fuck, we won type of guy you'll ever see.
He doesn't even watch his Netflix on an iPad. They said when he's on the plane, he watches it on his phone.
It's funny because, like, look, I'm ready to do this with him. It's the same stratosphere of Steph Curry with basketball. Steph Curry changed the way people see the game of basketball, whether it be shooting, whether it be his point guard style, all that. Cale Makar is – there will be little Cale Makars around the world playing hockey like him. What he does on the ice offensively, defensively, with his magician type of play, it is something we have never seen from the position outside of a guy that is one of the greatest players of all time, and Bobby Orr. And look, we are comparing Cale Makar at 23 years old to Bobby Orr. This is fucking absurd to say this, but it is the only conversation you need to have when comparing this guy to somebody. And that's where he's at right now. Look, the over under, like, the amount of Conn Smythe, the amount of Stanley Cups will only be to be seen, but this kid is already on the pathway of surpassing so many greats and being one of the greatest players of all time, not only from an Avalanche standpoint, not only from a defensive standpoint, but in all time history. Like, look, he's 23 years old. Come on, it is absurd what we're talking about from a 23 year old. Like, come on.
Yeah, he is otherworldly, and he's been that way. I talked about it last week, but I found highlights of his. I watched both the highlights of him at UMass Amherst in the Frozen Four, and then I watched highlights of him on that Bandits junior team. And watching Cale Makar in junior hockey is just like, there's obviously some football highlights that have been that way, but Cale Makar against other junior hockey players, just – get out of town. I'll turn that on every single time that I see it pop up on my YouTube feed. It's like a dunk compilation. I just have to see it. He is skating with his backhand on his stick with the puck on his stick, and he's stiff arming kids as they're coming to check him and just not letting the puck go. He's like, nope, nope, nope. Okay, I'm going to pass it to you. And he is, it's absurd to say, but he won the Conn Smythe Trophy on a team where people were saying the only way that this team would ever win a Stanley Cup is if Nathan MacKinnon wins the Conn Smythe Trophy. And Nathan MacKinnon, though he was a ghost in the first period and Stamkos had to smack the shit out of him to wake him up, he played like a man possessed afterwards and got the goal and an assist on the two goals in the Stanley Cup final and assisted the game winner. But Nathan MacKinnon, now first time in 9 years, has finally reached the pinnacle that his buddy Sidney Crosby did, and did it in a very similar fashion other than losing in the final the year before. But Nathan MacKinnon, definitely, like, the doubters have been silenced. He could be the highest paid player in the NHL. I don't know if he is the highest paid player in the NHL that the Avalanche will continue to have success, but as it stands now, he's on the table for having one of those. Might take a team friendly deal, who knows. But
if it looks at what Lanning did, he probably will take a team friendly deal.
And look at what Sidney Crosby did. That's why the Pittsburgh Penguins were able to go back to back. So there's like signs that point in that direction, but you never want, like, I never want to.
Yeah, look at what the Rams did. The salary cap is a fucking myth. Give him fucking all the bonuses. Give him all the bonuses in the world, Kroenke. Like, look, there's no limit on bonuses you can give a guy. You can give him a bonus for fucking stepping on the ice for 50 games. You can give a guy a bonus for getting 30 points in a season. Give him all the bonuses you can, and I'll have that going against the cap all you fucking want. Because there's ways around this, absolutely around this. And look, I need to bring this up because this shit had me pissed off more than anything today. If you fucking saw what I tweeted, there's an article coming out about MacKinnon, about the way he keeps his teammates in check, about how how fucking crazy he is, checking with their eating habits, their sleep schedules, all that weird shit, yelling at Kale every other 30 seconds on the ice, yelling at everybody. And look, the best way I can compare this is nobody fucking blinked an eye when Michael Jordan did it. If anyone watched that Last Dance documentary, Michael Jordan said it best. I never asked anybody to do anything I wasn't already doing. And look where Michael Jordan got to the point of his life. He is the greatest player, one of the greatest players to ever step on a basketball court. And MacKinnon knows that he could get to that point. And everything he asks of his teammates, everything he pushes his teammates to do, it's not like he ain't doing it alongside them.
And he's soured any relationships because he was the first one who got to give Eric Johnson a hug after they won the Stanley Cup. He was the first one dogpiling. Like, you can't tell me with the interactions and the celebrations that these guys have had after winning the Western Conference and now winning the Stanley Cup that Nathan MacKinnon isn't liked in the locker room. Because I've been hearing that shit from people around the Denver media area trying to sniff up some bullshit about don't pay Nate. Save all the money for Kale and let him go because he's an asshole and his teammates don't like him. I don't think his teammates don't like him.
Everybody fucking loves him.
I would want a guy like that in whatever I'm doing. That will yell at me like that.
The guy will yell at you, but will also pick you up off the fucking ice and carry you off the ice when your fucking skate is broken, blocking a shot in the third period of a Stanley Cup Game 6 game. He's the guy that picked up Gabe Leon. That was the point in the game that I knew we fucking won, by the way. That was the point like, yep, this is fucking over. We're fucking bringing it home. That's the guy that picks his teammate up. It was blasphemy. I saw all these things. I was like, why the fuck is Mac trending? Everybody's like, we need to fucking change the culture. We need to do this size of shit. As far as I'm concerned, you call him by his name, Stanley Cup champion Nathan MacKinnon, because the fucking guy's a champion. If this guy has never won a championship, never done shit, doesn't produce the way he's done the past 10 years that he's been in the league, the guy's 26, by the way. People forget. He's 26 years old, and this fucker's doing this for you. So I lost my mind. I wanted to rant on so many people being like, this is the fucking soft-ass culture that if you got a kick in the ass too, maybe you need it too. Because if you're going to reach the mountaintop, maybe you need it too. And MacKinnon was the guy that drove it home. And look, it's an emotion that when you get there, it's like no other. And that's all he wanted was one, because you know he wants another one. You know he wants to tie Sid and Stanley Cup titles. You know he wants Crosby to get as drunk as possible at every single fucking championship trophy, Stanley Cup party possible back in Nova Scotia. Look, there is nothing more you can say about Wood McKinnon. This team is not where they're at without number 29. This team is not who they are identity-wise and strength-wise without number 29. So anything you have to say about him, you better call him by his full name, and you better read up and do your homework on what his teammates say about him, because there is not a guy that pushes his teammates to the extent of what he will do as well. And a guy that is reaching the pinnacle of his sport and of his profession.
If it wasn't for Gabriel Landeskog, Nathan McKinnon would have the C. I hold that in, like, that's a firm truth. That would be the next line of things, and everybody else would be completely fine with it, because that's the kind of leader and the kind of guy that he is on and off the ice. And I agree with you. Like, if you think that his methods, that's what I was saying when I was watching The Last Dance too. Like, if you think that he was an asshole, like, yeah, he might've been an asshole and he might've probably taken it a little bit too far in some places, but the Bulls are not the Bulls if Michael Jordan is soft or lets something go or doesn't punch Steve Kerr in the face. If Nathan McKinnon doesn't yell at Cale Makar for not tying his skates right, because I don't know what else Cale Makar might not do correctly, but like, if he doesn't give it to Cale the way that he gives it to some guy that's on a PTO, but that's not who Nathan McKinnon is. 100% who he is, and we should be damn thankful that we have. Think about it. We've had Nathan McKinnon and Nikola Jokic in Denver at a time where we've also had Peyton Manning in Denver, and now we have Russell Wilson. Like, we have the best players that play for the teams in Colorado are like another level. They're not just the best players on the team. They're some of the best players in the world at what they do. And that Nathan McKinnon is in that list. And if you do really want Nathan McKinnon to go somewhere, I guarantee you he's going to drag somebody else to the front of the line with him. That's the kind of guy that he is.
He won't touch another uniform. I'm going to tell you right now.
No.
Joe Sakic is not letting leave the fucking room without a contract. So because that number 29 will be between 23 and between 33. It'll be between Hayduke and fucking Wah. It'll be up there. So I guarantee it. There's nothing he wants more than having those fucking banners that fucking Sakic and Wah won and being able to point to him and be like, yep, mine's up there too, and have his number in the rafters over there. So there's nothing McKinnon wants more.
No, I'm only saying that because the people who think that they don't want him here, he's just going to go somewhere else and do the exact same thing. I don't want another situation where I'm watching Peter Forsberg not in an Avalanche jersey. McKinnon is retiring a Colorado Avalanche, and that's going to be the end of it. And by the time it's said and done, I mean, I don't doubt that guy anymore. I don't think doubt that guy anymore, because we've seen the lengths that he's willing to go to. I mean, professional athletes put a lot of time and effort into themselves and into their bodies for their craft. Full-time body specialist, full-time sleep specialist, full-time nutritionist, full-time private chef. Like, as much money as he's making and as much money as he's going to make, he's reinvesting in himself. And it's paying off, because we saw it all throughout the playoffs, and it was epitomized on that coast-to-coast goal against St. Louis. Nobody can play with this guy. Nobody. There's not a player faster, not a player with better handles, not a player that can just will himself to score a goal in a big moment than Nathan McKinnon. You can give me the Connor McDavid's. I don't care. I know Connor McDavid had a great playoff run and had a couple of really good moments. Nathan McKinnon is just that dude. Nathan McKinnon has the mindset to where when he has the puck on his stick in that situation, I don't flinch.
He's an all world talent, all world type of athlete that just pushes his team to the limit. And if this team is continually losing the Stanley Cup year after year up to this point and not having won, then you fucking raise questions. But this is a guy that was determined to get to his team. And there isn't a guy that probably spoke up more in that locker room than 29. You can say 92. You can probably say Cogs as well. Throw him into that conversation. But those guys were the guys that were like, boys, we can fucking win this thing. We didn't win it the first time, but there was no panic after losing game five against St. Louis. There was no panic after losing game five at Tampa Bay. There was a calmness of, boys, we can still get this shit done. We just need to play our game and play the Colorado Avalanche type of hockey that we know can win it all. And now you're on top of the world. I mean, like, look, there's I will defend McKinnon to the fucking death of me because of the type of fucking player he is. I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan, but the way he's fucking acting, the way he holds his players accountable, look, Michael Jordan broke down in tears saying, I know I was an asshole. I know those guys fucking hated me and what I did, but I wanted it more than anything. I wanted it more than anything, and I never asked anybody to do anything that I wasn't capable of myself. That's all McKinnon does. That's all he does. And you can fucking like him, you can fucking hate him, but make sure you call him as he is, Stanley Cup champion, Nathan McKinnon.
Another guy that we need to give a little bit of roses to because we dragged him enough throughout the rest of the season, Jack Johnson, also now Stanley Cup champion, Jack Johnson, after everything that happened with his parents, taking all of his money and being able to be in the situation and play. You know, he's been in the league a long time and he was on a PTO to start the season and got signed from that. And EJ talked about it too. Like, that guy is a different kind of teammate. And that's what the Colorado Avalanche had. You go up and down the lineup, even the guys that you think probably weren't there to contribute offensively or defensively or on the ice in general, they were just there because they were genuinely liked by the rest of their teammates. So anything else? Let's wrap up the thoughts on the team. Then we'll mention some of the big free agents and then we'll send things out.
It's funny because that Jack Johnson, I totally forget that Jack Johnson was on that 2010 silver medalist Team USA team with EJ, which EJ at the time was with St. Louis, funny enough. But I forget he was a part of the team, and seeing where he's at now, look, Jack Johnson was the guy that filled right in when Sammy Girard went down. We were like, well, maybe should it be McDermott? Maybe should it be Ryan Murray? Yeah. Like you can go on the list. And look, everybody was like, you know what? Jack Johnson, you don't got to do much. We're going to throw you out there with Bo. We're going to throw you out there with Josh Manson. Those guys are going to produce offensively. All you have to do is hold down your half of the ice. That's exactly what he did. And look, there's a lot of question marks for this team going into next year, but it don't matter until game one of the preseason next year. Because right now they're on top of the world, and this team is the pinnacle of one of the greatest sports in the world. And look, I know we touched on it all year. What hockey has grown so much. This team, look, there's people that started playing hockey when this team won the Cup in 01 and 96. There are little kids that have never watched hockey because of the ESPN deal, because it was on ABC, that watch their team and be like, wow, man, I want to go be my own little Kale McCarr. I want to do my Nathan McKinnon go coast to coast. I want to stand in between the pipes like Darcy Kuemper. This is, look, we are in Hockey Town USA. There is zero fucking doubt about it. The U Pioneers, fucking national champions. Denver East High School, the fucking high school hockey champions. The fucking Littleton Hawks. Those fuckers won the Pee Wee National Championship. There is no fucking Detroit this, Detroit that. You are looking at Hockey Town USA, and there's not even a question about it. Hockey is fucking running through this city. And look, you're talking to two guys who I played roller hockey growing up. Jimmy can barely fucking skate if he fucking tried. So two guys that did not play a whole lot of hockey growing up, right? We both loved it forever. Since we play other sports, could not play it. And we are easily say this is a fucking hockey town. And what this city is fucking about, you can say the Broncos this, you can say the Nuggets that. You're not even going to bring up the 14. This town is a fucking hockey town, whether you like it or not.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And that's a beautiful way to end that. 2022 season ended the way we wish every season could, and that's with the championship. Our first championship that we get to celebrate as a podcast. It only took us 2 years, but we're here, and I think we're going to have a little bit more to celebrate in the near future. But let's talk about the free agent situation. I'll just mention the big names that I think are going to be important pieces that we might have to consider, and we'll have conversations about signing. We'll just rapid fire the names, and we don't have to because we'll go ahead and wrap things up so we can get ready for the parade in Friday's episode. But Andre Burakovsky, Darcy Kuemper, Nazem Kadri, Josh Manson, Val Nichushkin. Those are the big ones that are unrestricted free agents and then restricted.
Burakovsky's unrestricted.
Yeah, I said Burakovsky first. Oh, and then restricted is Lekkonen. Abe Kubel is a restricted. And then it's a couple of guys that are maybe guys that you might want to look at it as Eagles. Nico Sturm, also a UFA, as well as Cogliano. But like the guys that I mentioned are guys that we should have the conversation about, and we will have the conversation about, because they have years left to give that can be very productive. So we got to at least discuss possibly opening up a bag for them. And who knows, after spending this season / postseason, or whenever they were able to come here, like guys like Artturi Lehkonen, why would you want to play anywhere else? You fit so well into this system, and you get to play on a line with either Nathan MacKinnon or Mikko Rantanen or Cale Makar. Or Gabriel Landeskog. So you're just like, yeah, I think I'll stay. I'll take a pay cut and stay.
Yeah, if I'm just giving a brief of list of if I can only pick three of those guys, look, Lehkonen is fucking coming back. There's no doubt about that. The other two, in my opinion, it's Nichushkin because he's the guy that's probably going to be the most friendly deal out of those guys. The
choo-choo train, baby.
The choo-choo train. He's the guy that was your main producer for you. Berkey, I think, will be gone. I think Kadri will be gone because I think both those guys will get – look, Burkowski has two cups. It doesn't fucking matter about winning cups anymore at his point. He's going to go get a bag somewhere. And Kadri's already won one, so he's probably going to do the exact same thing. And the other big name, in my opinion, look, you could say maybe we should go Frankie. Maybe a Noonan is ready. I think Kemper has to come back. You can say what you want about the guy, but I think Darcy needs to come back. And I think you have to see what you got from him for one more year. I don't – look, Frankie's 31 years old. Maybe it's his time to finally take over a team, but I'm not ready to go into next season and think that we have a very good chance of going into repeating with Frankie as the number one netminder. Because if I'm being honest with you, look, Frankie was fucking incredible against Edmonton. I don't know if he can match Vasilevskiy like Kemper did in the Cup Final. So that's where I'm at with the free agents. We'll discuss a lot more, obviously, come that time, because, like I said, all those boys are still wearing their A on that chest and still going to be on a boat on Thursday. So, and singing All the Small Things and the fucking other song, I think.
My Own Worst Enemy.
No. There's another song they play in the locker room that's like the fucking sundown
Dancing
song.
In the Moonlight.
Dancing in the Moonlight. Yep. The other song. Gonna be blasting both those songs on the boat ride. So it doesn't matter right now. Like I said, we can worry about that later. But right now, you're Stanley Cup champions. You're kings of the world. You're Colorado Avalanche.
There you go. And that's going to bring us to an end of episode 97. We will be at the parade if you guys want to read. If you guys, we'll kind of let you know a general area of where one of the two of us are. If you want to come say hi, mention that you listen to the podcast, check it out. We'll be there celebrating along with all of you guys. So that'll be a good time. And then we'll have our first in-person episode coming out Friday, since, man, I can't even remember. That's where we'll touch on NBA draft. We'll talk about the Broncos. Maybe we'll finally get to our Bengals draft recap, even though it's been like, 2 months since that actually happened. So we're a little behind, but we got all this time.
Kind of had a cup run to worry about. Yeah.
We had a cup run to worry about. We have time to catch ourselves up, and then we get to go right back into the NFL plus, NHL and NBA will start in October and November.
It's the off season right now. Like I said, it's funny because I've been betting on every playoff game for fucking 3-4 months. It's been funny. And now I find myself betting on fucking Wimbledon and betting on fucking the WNBA, Jimmy. That's where I'm at. I have so much money in my fucking account because we won so much money. I'm fucking throwing it on fucking tennis matches right now. I'm down bad, Jimbo. Wow. I got a fucking, because I'm not betting on baseball. The fuck do you think I am? You think I can sit through that shit? No, fuck no.
I was going to say we were on a winning streak because I won my Avs future and you won your Avs future because Cale got three Avs futures.
I had Conn Smythe. I had us beating Tampa. I had us fucking win it before the playoffs. So I had fucking.
It was a good night.
It was fucking.
I'm up 400. I'm happy. I don't think I'm ever going to bet on sports again.
I'm up 400 too. So we're fucking rolling right now. The boys are fucking rolling.
It's been a fun time. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the playoff run as much as we did. We'll be back to more regular scheduled programming now that the playoffs are over. And we'll be cutting back down to one episode a week once we get everything back and situated. But thank you guys for listening. Be sure to follow if you're not already. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review at FEOTB Pod, all social medias. It's where you can figure out where we're at that Stanley Cup parade. And otherwise, like we always say, tell a friend to check out the show. And this has been Far Into the Bench, episode 97, for myself, Jimmy Pilato, and my co-host, Nico Bryant. Thank you guys for listening.
The great state of Hockey Town, USA, Denver, Colorado, Jimmy.
We will see you guys Friday.
Peace.
We get it almost every night, and when that moon gets a big and bright, it's supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in the moonlight. Everybody here is out of sight. They don't bark and they don't bite. They keep things loose, they keep things alive. Every border was dancing in the moonlight. Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. We like our fun and we never fight. You can't dance and stay uptight. It's supernatural delight. Everybody was dancing. They don't bark and they don't bite. They